2017 National Defense Authorization Act mostly sets policy for the Defense Department, but in its thousands of provisions, you'll find many that affect the entire federal government. With his take on some of the most important ones, Jeff Neal spoke with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Neal was Chief Human Capital Officer at Homeland Security. He's now a Senior Vice President at ICF International. He spoke about what federal managers can expect.
A number of HR reforms over the years have come out of the NDAA and been applied to the entire federal government. And in the 2017 NDAA, there are a few provisions that for now only affect DOD, but I think are going to very rapidly expand into other agencies. A great example, and this is something I've actually written about in my blog before, is raising the amount of buyouts from $25,000 to $40,000. You know, the buyout authority was really effective when it first started. It actually started in DOD during the defense downsizing after the Cold War. And $25,000 back then was a fair amount of money. But adjusted for inflation, it should have been $40,000 today. And that's one of the reasons buyouts have kind of lost their effectiveness over the years. So that provision, temporarily at least, raises the cap on buyouts to $40,000 to make them worth what they were worth when they started years ago. It's a really good thing.
How often is DOD using buyouts or attempting to use them, and how much do you think they will increase with this with the increase in funds available for it?
DOD uses buyouts a fair amount. They use them sometimes in handfuls, you know, and then sometimes in large numbers. I think they want to do some workforce restructuring within the department. If you read the entire 3,000 pages of the NDAA, it actually calls for some very specific restructuring within the Pentagon itself. So they really do want and need to do some restructuring of their workforce. And rather than running a massive RIF, the better way to do it is to incentivize people to leave with early retirement and buyouts. So this is a really good provision. Like the original buyout authority, I think if this one is successful, we'll see it expanding into other departments and agencies, and that would help those agencies as well. So that, I think, is a really good thing.
Let's talk administrative leave. As you mentioned, there's been a lot of stories about the abuse of that at certain agencies. Who is the biggest culprit that you can think of abuse in administrative leave agency-wise, and what will these reforms do?
Well, I'm not going to go into the Christmas holidays by slamming any of the agencies in government.
It's probably a good idea.
What I will tell you is there are some circumstances where people tend to use it. For example, if you've got somebody you believe is engaged in misconduct and that you might want to fire the person. I've seen agencies put people on admin leave. And then they keep on stalling their investigation and keep on putting other things ahead of it. And before they know it, they've got somebody who was accused of misconduct who's been on admin leave for 2 years. So when someone was accused of doing something that you might fire them for, their initial punishment is to be sent home with full pay for a year or two or three. Somehow that doesn't seem like punishment to me. But I'm sure some people would consider it to be punishment, but it doesn't seem like punishment. And so what's happened is in addressing it very specifically in the NDAA, what they've done is they've put some very hard limits on admin leave. Agencies can still use it. They have to start escalating the approval of it, though. And eventually they have to start reporting everything to Congress. So I think this change will make an enormous difference in the total abuse of admin leave that's been going on for a number of years.
What are the legitimate reasons usually for using admin leave, and is there any potential for these reforms affecting that aspect of the?
There are some legitimate reasons. The most legitimate reason you see for admin leave is that a blizzard hit Washington, D.C. You know, when you close down the government, what you're doing is giving people admin leave. So and that's actually now addressed in the legislation as well with basically weather leave. So there's a way to handle that. There are other times when you have, we'll say where you use the case I mentioned, where you've got somebody who's accused of doing something really serious. I had a case once where somebody was accused of doing something I thought was really serious. They were accused of threatening to kill me.
But you're so nice.
My agency... I thought so, but apparently he didn't. So my agency fired him. But during the time, the notice period between him threatening to kill me and being fired, they didn't put him on admin leave. And when it got to MSPB, the administrative judge ruled in favor of the employee and put him back to work and said very clearly in the decision, you know, the agency really could not have believed that he meant to kill anybody because they let him come to work every day after he made the threat. So that's a case where admin leave would have been a good thing, and it would have helped the agency sustain the removal of somebody who threatened to kill me and my boss. So I think there are a lot of cases like that. There are also cases where somebody has, say you have a top secret security clearance and somebody makes some accusation against you or something comes up in a background investigation and you can't do your job and they don't have any other work they can do, that you can do. There are cases like that where for a limited amount of time you might want to put a person on admin leave. The problem is those kinds of cases are the ones that sometimes can stretch out into a year or 2 years or 3 years. And when that happens, really the appropriate thing is not admin leave. The appropriate thing is an indefinite suspension.
Finally, let's touch on rehiring of feds. What reforms are in this NDAA that prevents people who are fired for disciplinary reasons or whatever jumping ship and going to another agency where they have no idea what their past looks like?
Well, there are two key provisions in here. One is a requirement that agencies look at the official personnel file of the people that they're hiring if they've worked in government before. And that's, you know, that really is just basic due diligence you would hope people would be doing anyway. The other provision is that if you have somebody that an agency's investigated and they've concluded that the employee engaged in serious misconduct, and then the employee quits before any action can be taken. This bill requires that the agency put a permanent record of that investigation and their conclusion in the employee's official personnel file. So what that does is it keeps people from ducking out just as, you know, as the axe is about to fall. And that's a very good provision as well. I do think there's a catch in it that lawyers will probably exploit. And that's that the bill doesn't say anything about using settlement agreements to avoid putting something in an employee's record. And I think what we're going to find is that we may see those settlement agreements popping up more and more to avoid that provision of the law. But overall, I think it's a very good thing. Yeah, I had a case once where an employee quit before we fired him. An agency called me for a reference, and I wasn't able, because of privacy rules, to tell them exactly what happened, but I gave them enough information that they should know, you know, you should really go investigate this guy more before you hire him. And the person who asked me asking me the reference wasn't getting it. And the next day she called me back and she said, you know, I'm a new supervisor and my coworkers told me I'm an idiot because you were screaming at the top of your lungs, don't hire him. And I wasn't listening. So what this provision does is it makes people not have to be so subtle in talking about what somebody did before they left. You can tell them exactly what the person was accused of and what the basis of your investigation was. And I think that's a good thing. That will help agencies a lot.
That's Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President of ICF International, speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Find a link to Jeff's column and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.